Say begin your landscaping project now at Menards. We make it easy for you to enhance your outdoor living space with the largest in-stock selection of concrete landscape block, ready to take home today. Build a fire pit or retaining wall with our tumbled Belgian wall blocks. On sale now. Save big on your landscaping project at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio.
The road to redemption has brought the Warriors back home. The Golden State Warriors are the 2017 NBA champions.
Here's your host, 6'1", former Oklahoma Sooner basketball player, Alyssa Walker Campbell.
The Houston Astros win their first World Series ever in franchise history. That's right, your 2017 World Series champions, and we are celebrating it tonight. SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We are so glad you are along with the ride. We want to send a thank you to our very special sponsor, that is Innospec Oilfield Services, where chemistry matters. You can check them out online at InnospecINC.com. Well, it is week 10 of the college football season, and we've been hitting it hard talking college football on tonight's program. Right now, we're going to head to the Big Ten Conference and zero in on Penn State. They are currently, they're 7-1. They're coming off a tough loss against Ohio State, and we're super excited to have back with us a gentleman who knows a thing or two about this program because he was a part of Penn State's 1982 National Championship team. He was the starting offensive lineman, and that is the great, the uber-talented Bill Kontz. Welcome back, Bill.
Hey, listen, my privilege to be back on your show. I'm thrilled to be part of it.
Okay, well, so we extended this invitation to talk some college football. I promise we're going to get into your Nittany Lions, but we are here in Houston. And I know you're a big baseball guy, too. Houston, oh, yeah. Strong. How about those Astros? They were so, so good. And those bats came alive on the road.
Clutch. You watch that type of performance. And being from Pittsburgh, small market teams, we cheer for them. If our powers can't be part of it, then I hope somebody is. So you guys took down the mighty L.A. Dodgers in fine fashion. We celebrated as well. Just a great for the city of Houston. First World Championship and that franchise's history. So what a thrill.
Well, it's exciting time of year for you, for Penn State. I know that they are coming off a disappointing loss last weekend, but it has really, Bill, it's been an impressive season so far. So what are your takeaways from the Nittany Lions, what they have shown you so far?
Yeah, my Penn State Nittany Lions seem to, we see a pattern starting to emerge. I'm not discounting what they've accomplished to date, but a whole new season with having to go into Columbus and face the Buckeyes, and your Oklahoma Sooners can attest to that and how difficult that is. But that pattern I spoke of is Penn State's offense. Cannot seem lead the entire game, and all of a sudden Ohio State starts chipping away in the fourth quarter. And this Achilles heel, if you will, seems to be the inability to control the ball with a lead and each clock. And I think that has a lot to do with the scheme that their offense is running under Joe Moorhead.
Our college football conversation, news and notes, continues after this quick break.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Hey, welcome back to SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We are in hour number two, college football news and notes. We are breaking it all down with Bill Kontz, former Nittany Lion and starting offensive lineman on Penn State's 1982 National Championship team. A one-point loss against the Buckeyes. Have you recovered? I know it's heartbreaking. You and your wife are on vacation right now, but are you doing okay?
Yeah, you get used to it. I mean, it's what college football is. It's like asking Sooner fans, did they get over what
Iowa State
what occurred? that you guys have rebounded you right back. And I was glad to see that the rankings, the people that issue these polls, for what it's worth, and they don't mean a whole lot at this point, but at least they have them above Ohio State at this point, which is only fair.
Okay, so Penn State, as we've been talking about, they've been so impressive this season. The college football playoff rankings, it was released this week. So talk to me about, break it down for us, Bill. I mean, how can Penn State, how can they still make the college football playoff? What are going to be the keys moving forward?
We need help. We need help. The Ohio State Buckeyes will, they have the tiebreaker in our division in the Big Ten, so we need them to lose two conference games for us to have a shot at winning it. Now, a lot of things certainly have to happen. Penn State has to win out, first and foremost, and the teams that are currently ranked ahead of us, Oklahoma being one of them, face some formidable challenges. What the appears to be the flying ointment at this point is Notre Dame and the great season they're having. So, you know, Penn State's got to win out, obviously, and we've got to have some things happen here in the month of November for Penn State to be considered part of that playoff format.
Okay, so let's talk about the remaining schedule for the Nittany Lions, Michigan State, Rutgers, Nebraska, Maryland. Which one, as you look at those opponents, which one gives you, scares you just a bit?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, they face a Michigan State team that knocked off Michigan Ann Arbor.
Right.
Sparty has taken it on the chin here, lost a couple of games, but it's still a home game in East Lansing. And Penn State on the road in the Big Ten, particularly at Michigan, at Ohio State, and at Michigan State, seems to struggle at times. So all those remaining games, this is their third straight game against a ranked opponent, second straight one on the road. They're going to have their hands full up in East Lansing.
Okay, so Penn State last season, 11-3. James Franklin doing a tremendous job. Did you listen to the press conference? I mean, did you agree with, what he had to share after that tough loss, that one-point loss against Ohio State? Some of the areas that they need to be better at. And what Coach Franklin was talking about is that they've got to finish.
Yeah, it's an essential element to any great football team. Penn State isn't quite there yet, and depth has been an issue since the sanctions came down, so we kind of knew this. We were hoping that we could hang on at the very end. Again, surrendering 19 fourth-quarter points against Ohio State raises a lot of red flags. The defense inability to put pressure on J.T. Barrett, and I never saw a quarterback go 13-for-13 and just dissect a defense like it did. So maybe some more creative defensive schemes might have helped that cause, but Penn State just ran out of gas. I like James Franklin. He's establishing a whole new and different brand of Penn State football. I go back to the Joe Paterno days, as does a lot of Nittany Lion former players. But you got to like what James Franklin. He doesn't pull any punches at press conferences. He tries to speak very clearly and eloquently on the message he's trying to convey. Bottom line is the energy level at Penn State is as high as it's ever been, and if you've been I had a chance to see it on TV. This guy's high-fiving and chest-bumping his players when they're coming off the field, and it's infectious. And I think that's what's carried Penn State thus far. Last-second or last-minute loss, I should say, to a very good Ohio State team. Let's see how they recover for the remainder of the season, and let's see if Lady Luck has something in the cards for them as this season unfolds.
Okay, Bill, you've been a part of a championship team. You know what it takes. How do you develop a finisher's mentality?
Yeah, great question. The book, as you mentioned, that I was so privileged to author.
Yes, When the Lions Roared.
My teammates, When the Lions Roared, speaks to some degree to that. This season, I could tell, the 1982 National Championship season for Penn State, my senior year, we had an epic win over the Nebraska Cornhuskers, and then the next game, we go down to Legion Field in Alabama and play arguably our worst football in quite some time. A lot of turnovers, two blocked punts. So, we had enough of the season to recover. What develops that type of mentality, I think, is senior leadership. And in this book, I detail a fifth-year senior, a fullback by the name of Joel Cole, stands up on his stool and gives one of the most impassioned and emphatic speeches. I think you need that kind of refocus. I understand local writer by the name of Dave Molinari, the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, detailed the fact that they did have a players-only meeting after the Ohio State game just to do exactly that, make sure we're on the same page, any detractors. I think any good football team, the measure of them anyway, is how they rebound from a loss like this and how they move forward. And I'm hopeful that Penn State can make a good showing of it this weekend against Michigan State.
Hey, Bill Kontz with us tonight, SB Nation Radio, the Big East Sports Show. He was a part of Penn State's 1982 National Championship game, the starting offensive lineman, and of course has just released with our good friends from Triumph Books. His new release is When the Lions Roared. Bill, you're the ultimate competitor. And so, when you go through a loss like that, especially, it's such a disappointing one-point loss, what do you learn the most in those kinds of situations in those games? What did you learn about yourself?
Yeah, that's an interesting take. I mean, you being a major college athlete yourself, you kind of look within yourself what you could do differently, what could you do better, but you hopefully don't just pack it in. And all that hard work and effort in the off season is for naught. I mean, that's the goal, is identify where you can get better, set a goal, short-term, long-term, make some attempt to examine faults, weaknesses, things you can get better at, both mentally and physically, and focus on those things. You get enough people like that pulling that rope in the same direction, and that loss becomes a distant memory pretty quickly.
And as I just mentioned, you released a new book with Triumph, and it is an inside look about your time at Penn State. We only have a few more minutes. Tell the listeners when they open up, what are they going to find? Because you really were there at such a special time.
Yeah, it's a three-part book, actually. It's some interviews that I'd conducted with over 35 former teammates. The players and the coaches give you an inside look on the Penn State program back in the day when we were playing a schedule that was the toughest in the country. And the middle part of the book makes that argument. I mean, the subtitle, One of College Football's All-Time Greatest Teams, I detail it not so much in the book. I break down some new metrics in examining how many ranked teams a national championship team ended up playing. The book doesn't do such a great part of it, but my website, which is BillConstPSU.com, pretty simple, just add PSU to my last name, will detail all of the data. And I leave it to the readers to go to the website, take a look at some cool, rare photographs and some footage and things like that, but also to dive into the data. The data is in a sortable format that people can take a look at all the national champions since 1970, and I'll add this year's to it after that, and judge for themselves as to where maybe their favorite football team ranks. So that's the second part. And then the reflections that my teammates and coaches had shared about Joe Paterno and how that man has impacted our lives, his ethics, his morals, the principles he practiced and reinforced with us every day. So folks are telling me it's an enjoyable page handed thus far. Sales are brisk. I hope your audience listening can go to Amazon.com or Triumph Publishing or Barnes & Noble, take a look at what's out there, and might make an excellent Christmas gift. Who knows?
Absolutely, yes. The holidays are just around the corner. What a great way to kick off hour number two, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We've been going one-on-one with Bill Konst, former Nittany Lion, starting offensive lineman on Penn State's 1982 National Championship team. He played, did you know, he played six seasons in the NFL with the Cleveland Browns and the New Orleans Saints. The Browns might need you. Bill, help.
The Browns
they are.
The Browns are battling out for the Saints. Give it up for my Saints. Five straight.
Yes.
I mean, a lot of surprising teams in NFL.
Yeah.
I mean, my hometown Steelers, you know, they blow the easy ones on the road.
Sure.
They win the wins they didn't expect. So there's a lot of surprises in the NFL. Pretty exciting fall in terms of, if you're a football fan, you're glued to your TV both Saturdays and Sundays.
Okay, check it out. Win the Lions Roar. That is Bill Konst, who's been with us tonight. SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. And the next time you're on the show, hey, let's take a deep dive. Let's talk some NFL news and notes, because it sounds like you've got some great info that you can provide for all of our listeners, our amazing audience. We love them.
We'll do, Alyssa. Thank you so very much. Take good care.
Of course, you bet. Much more coming your way. Hour number two, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. And again, this interview is being sponsored by or powered by Innospec Oilfield Services, where chemistry matters. Check them out online, InnospecINC.com. We will be right back.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, welcome back to SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. That's right, the celebration continues. The Astros win their first World Series ever in franchise history. But right now, we're going to shift gears. We are going to talk some NBA, get some news and notes. And our go-to guy, we love him when he's on the program, that is Basketball Insiders, basketballinsiders.com, Steve Kuyler. Good evening, Steve.
Miss Alyssa, congrats to you guys. Always fun to win a World Series.
Oh, it has just been absolutely incredible, and just so many incredible storylines. How about the Astros' Carlos Correa proposing to his girlfriend, Daniela Rodriguez? Did you see that?
I did, and I'm going to tell you, I didn't have that much game when I proposed to my wife. I wasn't that close.
Yeah, he set the bar pretty darn high. Well, let's open things up in the Eastern Conference tonight, Steve. Talk to us about the Cleveland Cavaliers, because they have struggled mightily as of late. Give us the pulse. What's going on with them?
Well, yeah, the news this week, you know, Tristan Thompson out a month with a strained calf, so that's going to get worse for a team that has really struggled defensively. I mean, that's kind of been the big key. And when you look at, you know, kind of who the Cavs have lost to, you know, lose to the Magic, lose to the Nets, lose to the Pelicans, lose to the Knicks, lose to the Pacers. These are all things that should have been W's. I mean, when you script it out, which team should the Cavaliers have been better than, you know, if we came in here and said, oh, they lost, you know, six or seven games to, you know, the Warriors and the Rockets and some of the elite, they're losing games to the bottom of the East, and that's a tough thing for a team that's going to find a lot more competition at the top. But, you know, some of this, Alyssa, is just about a lot of new faces.
Okay.
You know, LeBron James is not an easy guy to play with, as much as, you know, we like to celebrate how unselfish he is and how much of a great passer he is. You know, the style of play that LeBron needs to live in is a little different than most of these guys. And you even go think about guys like, you know, Jay Crowder and certainly Derrick Rose and Jose Calderon, not that he's playing a ton of minutes, but, you know, these guys are used to playing a very different style of basketball. And certainly in Derrick Rose's case, you know, not deferring as much as maybe he's been trying to do with LeBron. You know, the message from the Cavaliers coaching staff, certainly Ty Lue, has been, you know, you guys just need to go out and play your game and quit watching LeBron and worrying about LeBron. But the truth of it is that's a real thing, that you've got to get used to playing with a guy that's so good and does so many things that it's easy to become a spectator. You know, that's probably why that the previous construction of the team was so special, was because you had three guys that really played very well together, but no Kyrie Irving and a lot of new faces. And no Isaiah Thomas. I do think that's a factor, too.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of new faces, you know, it's easy to get caught up that you can throw new guys together and make it work. It doesn't always work that way.
Well, and right now, four straight losses. And, Steve, you had rattled off talking about some of the opponents, you know, out of the Eastern Conference. And this schedule is not going to get any easier. Tonight they face the Wizards. That game already underway.
Yeah, you know, and again, no rest for the wicked. I mean, we talked about starting this season a little bit earlier and getting more time in between games, but, you know, you can't dwell too much. You got to dust it off and get into the next one, dust it off and get into the next one. And you mentioned the Wizards. You know, they're going to be a really good team this year.
Yes.
And they were a really good team down the stretch last year. Boston is finding their way without Gordon Hayward. You know, Toronto is still really good. So, you know, the Cleveland Cavaliers are not going to be able to afford to lose these early games, because in April, when this thing's all said and done and you go, why didn't you get home court? It's not going to be because of, you know, five, six games. It's going to be one or two games that's going to determine whether or not you get to play a game seven on your floor or play it on the road. So these games do matter. I know we joke and say NBA stands for never before April. These games are going to matter.
Uh-huh.
They really are, especially for the Cavs.
Okay, basketball insider Steve Kyler back with us. SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Yeah, the NBA season, it's just got underway. Steve breaking it down, all down, giving us the skinny on the Cleveland Cavaliers. So how would you describe, you're talking about these guys are still, it seems like, trying to connect, mesh, you know, develop this chemistry. How would you describe the quality of this roster?
Well, I think that's to be seen. I mean, the Cleveland Cavaliers have a lot of guys with question marks next to him. I don't think we know what Derrick Rose really is. He played well in New York last year, but he's not nearly the guy he was when we were talking about him as an MVP and one of the top up-and-coming players. He's a very different player. You know, no Isaiah Thomas. We don't know really what that's going to be. You know, he did not have surgery. So does he come back and play 10 games and ultimately have a tear that kills the season? Or does he come back and be the guy that just ran the fourth quarter for the Boston Celtics for the better part of 2 months? So you just don't know, because they're just unanswered questions. You know, Jay Crowder is a great addition to that team.
Yes.
Amon Shumpert's been banged up. I mentioned no Tristan Thompson for the better part of a month. That's a team that was not good defensively to start with, and you're maybe losing your second best defensive player. So there's real questions that I think, you know, still don't have answers, which is why it's so hard to say, what is this Cavs team really? But when you think about it in its simplest terms, you've got the best player in basketball, and you're still playing like the best player in basketball, and you've got a lot of really good guys around him. The likelihood that this thing gets off the rails and goes completely sideways is pretty small. But like I said, you know, I think who they are today will be very different than who they are when we get into March and April. I think we'll look at it just like we've done, you know, maybe when LeBron first came back and said that first month was ugly, but they're playing good basketball now. They seem to be a team that does that year over year, where they'll have these patches where you just don't know who they are, but then at the end of the season, they're exactly who we thought they were.
Well, it sounds like, Steve, that you're not surprised, even though they have had the acquisition of Jay Crowder, Dwayne Wade, Derrick Rose, Jeff Green. These guys are quality guys. It sounds like we just got to be patient as fans and just see how this plays out ultimately, because the real season gets underway. We're talking about March, April.
Yeah, you know, but I also think when you look at kind of how the NBA is playing out here, you know, first of all, you know, this is the first season we've started the NBA in mid-October. Normally, these guys are used to getting going in November. There's, you know, more preseason games for, and we, you know, talked to a couple of players. Certainly, Paul Millsap talked with us about the idea that he could have used some of those extra preseason games to get to know his new teammates. So there is a get-to-know-you factor that you can get a little overexcited about. And I think on the same side, you know, the teams that came with poor guys or real good continuity, you know, picked up where they left off. You know, Milwaukee's been really good. Washington's been really good. Houston has been really good. You know, the Memphis Grizzlies were really good right up until the Mike Conley injury. Orlando has been the surprise of the NBA, but again, they brought back all of the same guys with the same coach. So you're picking up where you left off, where some teams are really trying to reinvent themselves on the fly, and I do think that's a fact.
Hey, Steve Kondler with us, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Steve, connect with our audience. Where can they find you online?
Yeah, you can certainly find me on Twitter. I am Steve Kondler. NBA. If you hit me on Twitter, I'll try my best to hit you back. But basketballinsiders.com, that's the home. If you want to know what's going on in the NBA, that's where it's at.
Okay, you've talked a lot about with the Cavs, you got to have continuity, the chemistry, health, you know, all these factors play in. But is LeBron, is he accountable or should he be held accountable for the Cavs for their struggles in terms of a leadership role?
Well, I think the best player on every team is accountable. I certainly think LeBron is trying to shoulder a lot of the blame. He's the first person after games that the media is going to ask questions of. You know, that's what the franchise player gets. One of the reasons why they ask for so much money, they've got to shoulder blame even if it's not theirs. But, you know, LeBron for a very long time has had to kind of deal with this unreasonable expectation that just because he's on the team that it's always going to work and it's going to work every time. And he's the first person to tell you. He said it, you know, just this week, you know, slow down. We're not going to be this team in a few months. You know, we got to figure some things out. You know, he understands the urgency of figuring it out now. But, you know, to blame him for so many new faces, to blame him for Isaiah Thomas, to blame him for Kyrie Irving wanting a trade, I think all of those things, you know, just aren't reasonable to put on LeBron. But he's got to be the one that's going to answer the question regardless because it is his team.
NBA news and notes, Steve Kondler, Basketball Insiders. Yes, we've been in the Eastern Conference. I have to tell you, one of the teams I've been very surprised about is the Dallas Mavericks. I mean, so much excitement and anticipation with Dennis Smith Jr., but they are struggling mightily right now.
And almost by design. You know, this is not a team that was expecting internally to win a lot of games. They're playing a lot of young guys. You know, they're not trying to bring the veterans in. You know, they've got a couple. You know, Dirk's going to get the swan song season. But they're not trying to win games this year. I mean, they're not playing the Sixers card and deliberately losing. But there's going to be another trip through the lottery in the Dallas Mavericks' future. They knew it. They knew it when they took Dennis Smith Jr. They knew it when they made some of their roster decisions. So this is also one of the reasons they didn't do a huge crazy deal for Nerlens Noel, is because they know this team is in flux and it's going to change and it's going to evolve. I think you'll see some trades out of Dallas. They're fun to watch. They're exciting and they're entertaining because they've got a lot of good young guys that are going to be the core of the future. But what this Dallas Mavericks team is going to materialize in 2 years, not in 2 months.
Hey, the Mavericks, they are a prideful organization. Are they going to be better than 33 wins like last year?
I don't think so, at least not this far.
Wow.
And maybe you don't want to be 33 wins because this upcoming draft, you know, while, you know, the draft that had Dennis Smith Jr. And all of these guys that are rookies now was probably 15, 17 players deep, this upcoming draft, the 2018 draft, doesn't look to be nearly as deep. So you're talking about five or six really kind of game-changing players in terms of potential. So you don't want to be 33 wins and get the eighth pick. You want to be right around the 2022 win, try to get that second or third pick.
Okay, eight games into his career. Let's go move ahead quickly. We've got about 60 seconds. Talk to me about Lonzo Ball. What are your takeaways? What have you seen from this rookie?
He's been as good as advertised, but I think his flaws are real. You know, he doesn't shoot the basketball incredibly well. He's a little inconsistent on the scoring side, but he brings it. He brings it every game. He brings a lot of intensity. He's really good defensively. He's an incredibly instinctive playmaker. He pushes pace, which is exactly what the Lakers want to do, and he's holding up under the pressure. You know, LeVar will throw some things out, and he'll show up and deliver, and he's taken everything everybody's given him with a smile. He's been humble. You know, he's been confident. I think he's been really good. I'm real impressed with Lonzo Ball.
Okay, NBA news and notes. Steve Kyler, Basketball Insiders. Check him out, basketballinsiders.com. Great stuff on that website. Always informative. Thank you so much, Steve.
Anytime, Melissa.
You bet. Stick around. Much more coming your way right here, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Hey, welcome back to SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I am Alyssa Walker Campbell. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. Our next segment being powered by our good friends at Innospec Oilfield Services, where chemistry matters. Check them out online at InnospecINC.com. Well, it has been a very big week. The celebration continues as the Astros win their first World Series in franchise history. But right now, we're going to completely shift gears. We're going to tee it up. As promised, it is time for a golf segment. And we have extended an invitation to the CEO and Master Golf Fitter from MK Golf Technologies in San Antonio. And that is Mark Valier, who is here to help us understand all the do's and don'ts with club fitting. You can never, ever underestimate a good club fitter because they can literally, I tell you what, I've got junior golfers in my house. They can literally transform a player's game. Welcome to the program, Mark. It's nice to have you with us.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
Well, let's talk about the importance of going to a reputable golf fitter, because it's not just for the pros or for scratch golfers. It's true, because you want an experienced coach, you want an experienced teacher, but you also want an experienced fitter that's going to help build your equipment and customize it for you and for your strengths.
Well, I think one of the things that Kirk and I focus on at MK Golf is we just want to, you know, help everybody get the best equipment that suits their game, and everybody has a different swing, what we call swing DNA. And so, you know, we started this, you know, years and years ago and just worked ourselves through the industry to become a top club fitter. And we think there's two categories, basically. You got, you know, the range fitter, and then you've got professional fitters. You know, like the pros, that they would use the guys on tour and tour vans and so forth. And we're sort of like that on dry land. We don't have a mobile studio that we travel around to venues and so forth. People come to us. And so, you know, we focus on the fundamentals of golf, you know, try to understand, you know, we're a really equipment specialist. So we focus on the engineering and design of all the products. You know, we focus on the design of the shafts and how shafts work, you know, shaft profiles. You know, in an engineering perspective, a shaft profile is called modulus elasticity. Now, that's a big word, but it really translates to what we call EI. So when an engineer is designing a shaft, they're designing a shaft to flex in certain positions and certain speeds, and also with different tempos. You know, then you have a design engineer that's designing a head, and it's designed for, you know, certain types of golfers. Like you have the blade style that maybe a Tiger Woods would play, and then you have a cavity back style that you know, the average golfer would play that needs a little bit more forgiveness. And so there's a wide array and variation of styles. And so when somebody walks in, one of the first things we look for is, how fast are you swinging a golf club? You know, what is your tempo? Mm-hmm. You know, what's your handicap? What are your expectations on the golf course? Are you the guy or gal that wants to go out and just be outdoors and enjoy a great day, you know, outdoors? Or do you want to be competitive and you want to score your best? And so, you know, you have to, those are the questions that we ask people when they come in, that they come in and we say, okay, what do you want to do with your game? And so then the other aspect of that is junior golfers, like you mentioned earlier. You know, that's really how we got started, because my son and my partner's son, Kirk, son played junior golf, and you know, we wanted to get them in the best equipment. Well, I have happened to start, you know, in the golf business when I was about 20 years old out of college, and well, I was older than that, actually about 21 or 22. But we wanted, you know, to make sure they had the best equipment, and you know, it was expensive. So to try to save some money, I started building, you know, my son's clubs, and, you know, as he grew up from 6 years old to 8 years old to 10 to 12 to 15, I mean, they change in weight and size and length and everything else. So that's sort of how we got started. And then all of a sudden we started going to the PGA show and meeting people in the industry. And then we started getting different accounts with different companies, and it just kind of ballooned into like, holy cow, now we're legitimate. Now Golf Digest recognizes us as a top 100, you know, company.
Yeah.
And that's how I think people, when you're searching on the internet, you're looking for a club fitter or custom club fitter or something like that. Well, you know, you find these top 100 people around the country, and I'm not the only group that does this, but you know, fortunately for us, we're in a city that doesn't have a lot of other people that do what we do, so we have a very successful business.
The CEO, Master Fitter of MK Golf Technologies, as he was just talking about, in San Antonio, that is Mark Valier, with us for the very first time, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. And, you know, it's true. I mean, club fitting has become more scientific. So how valuable as a club fitter is a tool like having a TrackMan when you do a club fitting?
Well, I'm telling you flat out, it's essential today. We really couldn't make any money if that is a factor in our business, which, you know, it is, you know, without the technology. You know, we use FlightScope and TrackMan because it helps us determine what is working in the golf swing from an equipment perspective for that individual that we're fitting at that time. You know, we're certified in the technology, so we can read the data that comes off of these machines. And if you're going to be fit by somebody that's got a TrackMan or a FlightScope, you really need to ask the question as a consumer, are you certified? You know, what classes have you gone to mm-hmm. ensure to me as a consumer that I'm going to spend money and I'm going to get value out of my fitting? You know, if you're going to somebody that's, let's say, just teaching, and all of a sudden that teacher says, well, you need some new clubs. Well, that's fine, but you also want to make sure that teacher that's teaching you the fundamentals of the swing also understands equipment. And there's a variation of size of this story. You know, that doesn't mean that a good teacher, a Class A professional, doesn't know equipment, because they can. But the perfect world is where you're going to an instructor to get taught the golf swing, and that instructor turns around and says, okay, now it's time for you to go see MK Golf or some company like us to get fit for equipment. And then those two entities work together. And that's what we do. We have a lot of Class A's that we work with. And, you know, when they get ready, they send us business. And when people come in and they need help with the golf swing, we send those people to them, because we're not trying to be somebody's instructor, because that's not what we do. But we do know the golf swing really well, and it helps us fit as well. So, you know, the consumer really needs to ask a question. The one thing about me, if somebody calls me, I will tell them exactly what is good for them. I mean, I'll talk to people on the phone until I'm blue in the face.
Mm-hmm.
I don't charge for that. I want people to get the best out of golf, because Kirk and I are both golf geeks. We grew up playing it. You know, we love it.
We love Kirk. Yeah,
we love working with kids.
Uh-huh.
We love to watch them grow. And, you know, 6 years old and 8 years old and 10 years old, and all of a sudden, that summer before their freshman year, they grow 12 inches, and you go, now what do I do? You know, well, now the clubs that you get spent $2,000 for example, they don't fit the young man or young girl,
yep,
because they've grown so much, you know, and so we have to be so focused on growth patterns and demographics of where you're playing, the type of golf courses that you play, and the amount of time you have to spend on them. I mean, these kids are so pulled from different directions today. You've got all these activities to do. You know, you've got, you know, a lot of competition out there. And, you know, where are you going to go to college? Are you going to play college golf? You know, and so forth. And it's an everyday thing. We study a lot. You know, we try to keep focused. And our motto is basically, if you're not happy, we're not done. You know, we want you to to come get fit by us and have great experience. And if you go play golf and things aren't working like you want them to, then we want to know that, you know, because we learn from that as well.
Yeah, and you know, Mark, I mean, there are a lot of talented professionals out there. And my takeaways is, you know, what really makes a great club fitter is what you're talking about. You want to be teamed up with someone that is truly committed to the process and to helping, you know, whether it's your junior golfer or college golfer, helping one improve. And it's about building trust.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, you have to have a team today. You know, if you take the Jordan Spieth out there, they've got a team of people. He's got an instructor. You know, he's got a manager. He's got a fitness guy. He's got a nutrition guy or gal. I mean, it's so challenging today. You just and if you really focus on what's going on in the golf world, focus on the talent that's out there today in college and high school. I mean, these kids are getting so good so quick, and part of it is because of technology. I mean, you get a TrackMan or a FlyScope out there with a good instructor, and all of a sudden they understand immediately why the ball went right, why the ball went left, why it went high, why it went low, you know. And then you have an instructor that says, you know, your equipment does not fit you now, so I can't get you to where you need to be until you change equipment. And so a lot of moms and dads, for example, they understand this, but then you have another set of parents that don't play golf. And they really may not understand that. And so that's why, you know, call us and ask us to help you get through this. You know, and that's, you know, one of the narratives that I like to present to people is information is free. I'll tell you what I think, and I'll be honest with you and be straightforward with you to make sure that your son or daughter, for example, you know, gets to go in the right direction. And if you're John Doe, you're working for a living and you play golf on the weekends, you want to play your best golf, you know, do the same thing. Come see us. Let us inspect your bag. Let us do some analytics on it. And I'll tell you, hey, your irons are pretty good. You really don't need any. But your driver is five generations old. maybe that might be a good idea to change, you know. So it's complex, but it's really not that difficult. We can make it really complicated, or we can make it really simple, depending on where you want to take your game. And that's important.
Hey, the CEO, Master Fitter of MK Golf Technologies, Mark Valier, with us, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Yes, fall is here. It is the month of November, but I wanted to ask you on the program tonight, is this the best time of year to make a change with golf clubs? If you're thinking about making a switch and making some types of changes, I mean, what would you recommend?
Well, I think there's primarily, and I'm going to focus on junior golf for a second. Primarily, there's three times during the year that it's good for the active junior golfer to look at equipment. And that's around Christmas time, because you're in between fall golf and spring golf. It's around May or June, and it's after spring golf, like district or regional or state, and it's right before summer golf. And then the other time is August, September, right after summer golf, right before fall golf. So there's three primary times, and I think there was three, maybe it's four, but you want to do this in the off season. And it's also a good idea. Let's say you're working with me, and we did some fitting in September, you know, and we're talking, you know, you might have a growth spurt, you know, and I'm not the doctor, but you might have a growth spurt in this time frame. Why don't you come back in 6 months? No charge. Just let us look at stuff. You know, come in for a half hour, hour. Let us measure you. Swing a club, see if your club head speed is maintained itself, or maybe it's gotten faster. Let's just take a look.
We've got you covered. SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We've got to step aside for a quick commercial break, and we will be rejoined with the CEO and Master Fitter of MK Golf Technologies, and that is Mark Valier.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Welcome back. Hour number two, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show, having a compelling conversation with Mark Valier, CEO, Master Fitter of MK Golf Technologies in San Antonio.
But there's Christmas time, you know, May, June, or August, September. And those are the times that it's really a good time to focus. And from an adult perspective, once you've grown up, let's say you're 35 years old, well, you're going to and you, let's say you're a single digit handicap, you work for a living, you're going to play on the weekends, maybe a little competition around the community every once in a while, you're not going to have drastic physiological changes because of your age. But at 35 and 45 and 55, your clip-it speed, if you stay pretty active, you should be able to maintain that. So you can play your equipment for quite some time. We like to say in today's marketing world how the OEMs are continually change product design. If you had a driver, let's say you bought it in 2017, it's probably going to be good for three generations, maybe four, depending on, you know, whatever the rules are with regard to manufacturing, which isn't going to change. But in irons, about the same. So you can stay in a set of equipment for 3 to 4 generations without any issue. I do have a lot of customers that when something new comes out, they want it.
Hey, Mark Valier, the CEO, a master fitter of MK Golf Technologies. Check them out in San Antonio. He's got an amazing team. Kirk James and Jamie Watson. I tell you what, Mark, this is your first time on the show. You have a radio voice. I'm not sure if you've heard that before, but you're easy on the ears, and we look forward to another conversation. Great information. Very informative. Thank you, Mark.
I really appreciate you asking me to be on, and anytime you need anything from me, just give me a holler.
Yes, sir. That, of course, was Mark Valier, CEO, Master Fitter, MK Golf Technologies, and we are so glad you've been with us over the past 2 hours, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show, always the biggest and the best. A very special thank you to all of our guests, and we'll see you next weekend right here, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Connect with us online at Twitter, @eRadioSports, and podcastarena.com. Don't drink and drive.